And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come to life. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why, with all the rulers in the world,
thank you, Jesse. Good song. Such a good song. Man, are you guys ready for Christmas? Nobody's ready for Christmas? I was hoping everybody was still awake. Amen. Well, again, it's a little cool out here today, but that's all right. I got my jacket on, got my hoodie here if I need it, got my light on here, so I've got a heated jacket on today. So, man, I'll tell you what, it makes it better. But we didn't light the candles this morning, but the wind is not going to allow us to. But I just want to, talk about love this morning. We all, love is something, or sometimes a feeling, but always an action, and that's what I talked about earlier. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. I told Verna, I said, I got to writing and typing out, and normally I just get carried away, and when I hit print, when I printed out, it printed out about 9 pages, and I was like, man, you know, but I'm telling you, it's big print and double space, so, you know, we won't be here till too late. But love, when we think about love, that's our second Sunday of Advent. We're going to talk about love today, and the love is a word that is quite overused, I think, in today's society. We use it for everything. We love a lot of things, and we love our football games. We love our cars. We love our houses. We love our kids. You know, we love our freedom. Amen. We love our guns. Amen. We love our dogs and even cats at times. We love chocolate. We love steak. We love pizza. We really do love a lot of things, don't we? And I'm not alone in that, amen? We like all those things. And, you know, looking, you know, they made over 75 movies that are titled, their title has love in it. And there have been countless songs. And I know, I remember, you know, back in the 90s, the 80s, man, back in the 80s, they wrote a lot of songs about love. Even back in the 50s, they wrote a lot of songs about love. You know, back in 1956, Elvis Presley, he said, he wrote a song about Love Me Tender, 1956. And then a few years later, he sang a song as I Can't Help Falling in Love. You guys remember that? In 1962? You know, and even though he couldn't help falling in love, obviously there was somebody who had lost that loving feeling. The Righteous Brothers did. You never close your eyes. Oh, you guys remember that song? Come on. And, you know, in the Supremes, you guys remember the Supremes, and they wanted to stop in the name of love. And then the Beatles, they had All You Need Is Love, Love, All You Need Is Love. And then there was the Partridge Family who sing I Think Love, I Think I Love You. And then there was Olivia Newton-John who could say I Honestly Love You. You guys know all these songs? 1975, the Eagles wrote a song called Best of My Love. And then there was Captain and the Tennille. They told us that love will keep us together. You guys remember that song? Hey, come on now, I know. You know, in 1976, Paul McCartney was, you know, he wrote a song, a silly love song. Do you remember that? And then there was REO Speedwagon, 1981, Keep On Loving You. That was a big hit. You know, that was all they wanted to do back then was write songs about love. And then we had Lionel Richie. You remember Lionel Richie and Diana Ross, and they wrote Endless Love. You remember that song? And then Tina Turner. Tina Turner, man, What's Love Got to Do With It? That was a big song. 1984, 1985, Whitney Houston, Saving All My Love for You. Even Foreigner, remember the group Foreigner? I Want to Know What Love Is. Man, that was a big one. I want to know what love is. Man, I want to tell you what love is today. That was a big song for Foreigner, but, you know, that word love can be overused a lot. We sing a lot of songs. We watch a lot of movies about love. But maybe you've never consciously wondered about that in your life. But as we talk about it, I want to talk to you today. What is love? What is love? And I want you to know what love is. You know, if you could sing that song, I want to know what love is. I want you to know. I want you to know. The love I want you to know and share is the love of Christ. That love that Christ shared with us, man, to know that love. You know, to love like Christ is an essential part of our life. You know, we worship, you know, we come here together, we gather together to worship Him, to show Him that we love Him because He first loved us. You know, we are spending time in His presence this morning, right now. When we come together and we gather together, in His name, we come together in His presence to show Him that we love Him because He first loved us. And in 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, in 1 John 3:16 this morning is the scripture. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Man, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, just let us learn from it today. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God's love for us, number one, is sacrificial. It's a sacrificial love, and we need to think of that this morning. This is how we know that what love is what John says there in 1 John. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So it was sacrificial. You know, God sacrificed his life for you and for me. And the purpose of Christmas, if we're focusing on Christmas, the purpose for Christmas was for Jesus to come into this world so he could become a man and lay down his life for us. His sole purpose was that. He knew it before he even came, what he was going to do. In Hebrews 2:14 and 17, and since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. You know, God's love for us caused him to sacrifice his glory in heaven, to be born as a baby into a dark and cold world, so that he could sacrifice his life for ours, is what he did. You know, we have to consider his sacrifice. We have to focus on his sacrifice. And I don't know if you've ever really thought of that or thought about the greatness of God's sacrifice for us. You know, maybe at Christmas time you want to think about gifts and presents and family and food and all those things there. But remember that God came down as a humble baby in a dirty stable, and he humbled himself and became man and gave up everything, knowing, going through all that, knowing that one day he would be nailed to a cross and he would give his life for us. I want you to think about that. We could live our lives perfectly fine without cell phones. You ever think of that? We could. Sacrifices sometimes we think of as can be insignificant. I want you to think about the small things in your life that you have that you could live without. You know, you could live, like I said, perfectly without a cell phone. And in fact, you know, I did for many, many years, and we haven't had that technology for very long, that we didn't even have cell phones and we got along just fine. Now imagine, you know, I can't imagine a lot of you without your cell phones today. I mean, you feel lost, you feel abandoned, you feel like you're disconnected, you feel like there's, you know, it's a priority, right? But can you imagine giving it up? What if by doing without our cell phone meant life for someone else? I'm sure many, if not all of us, would do it to save a life of another, right? We'd give up our cell phone to save a life, right? I bet we would view that most as a sacrifice. I sacrificed my cell phone. Philippians 2, 6 and 8, who is being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, talking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. I read a statement from an unknown author, and it said, to give up everything, the glory of heaven, the perfect union with the Father in spirit, to take on flesh and voluntarily subject yourself to the limiting nature of flesh, even while knowing the glory you experienced with the Father. That's what he did. Jesus understands sacrifice in a way that we never will. You know, it's easy to give up something that's... it's easy to give up little things that are insignificant. But he gave it all. He gave up everything. Jesus understands sacrifice in a way that we never will. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he loves you. You know, I think of this. For us to make a sacrifice like that would be like this. It'd be like an extremely wealthy man foregoing all of his wealth, giving up all of his wealth to trade places with somebody who is guilty and on death row. He goes free, and we enter into death row where we await our appointed time of death, all for somebody else who's guilty. That's what God did for you. That is what God did for us because he loves us. And God gave love. He loved us so much, he sacrificed his life. Our love for others should be sacrificial too. 1 John 3:16 again says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Amen? That's what real sacrifice is. Given the sacrifice that our Lord has done for us, seems kind of radical in a lot of ways, but it was. John doesn't tell us to trade places with the guilty, but John does give us ways that we should love in sacrifice, sacrificial ways. He says, because we know the sacrifice that has been made for us. If we know, shouldn't we also give? John challenges us here. He says, we need to be sacrificial with our currency. And I know many of you are. And I want to thank you for your money that you give. 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? You know, money's one of those things that can truly show where our heart is, because money can purchase many, many things that we like. We like things. We like stuff, right? Money represents for us a level of freedom. If we have money, we are free to make choices and how to spend it. We earned it. We can buy what we want, right, with the money that we earned. You know, it's a freedom. If we have money, we're free to go on vacation, buy cars and houses and whatever else. But when we sacrifice our money, we are really sacrificing our freedom. When we are willing to do that for another person, we are showing them love. If we're truly going to keep Christ in this Christmas season, we have to recognize that we can be taken captive by the same materialistic desires of the world, and we have to take steps to overcome those tendencies. One of the best ways to overcome these tendencies is to fall into not to fall into this materialistic trap and but we must rely on the Lord instead of ourselves to be sacrificial. You know, we have an opportunity to help out those who are truly in need through our Compassionate Needs ministry, and we do. Many of you give, and I thank you for that. We use it to buy food, and we just had our grocery give Saturday, and we got to help some people in the community that needed help. That's how we show love to people, by giving. I got to share a little bit. I like to ask people when I'm putting groceries in their car, how can I be praying for you? Is there anything I can pray with you about? And some people just sometimes just say, no, I'm good. But then there are ones that will say, you know, I'm really struggling with this. I really appreciate your prayers. You get a chance to share with them. Give them a little food to feed their bellies, and then share a little spiritual love with them to feed their souls. Encourage them to get one step closer to Jesus. That means it all. That means everything. We need to be sacrificial, not only, you know, with our finances, as many of you do. And I thank you again. I keep saying that. I thank you for that. You know, if you haven't given an offering towards our Compassionate Needs, I'll tell you, it's very important that you do. And it goes to a good cause. And it helps somebody. It helps people in our community. It helps people in our church. John not only tells us that we need to be sacrificial with our currency, but he also says we need to be sacrificial in our conduct. Woo, man, yeah. That's a big one. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth." Man, actions and truth. We really got to do that. You know, we're good at throwing around the word love, like we love somebody or we love these things, we love people, but we love a lot of things, but our words need to be backed with our actions and our conduct. If we're going to say it, you know, I say it a lot. If you're going to say you're a Christian, then act like one. I don't mean that to be offensive, but I'm just telling you it's a fact. So how does our conduct speak love? What are the sacrifices other than financial that we can make to love others? That's the question. Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul gives some very, very good ways that we can sacrifice in conduct. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Love never fails." You know, I'm not going to talk about all this. I'm going to try to. But love is patient, number one. Paul tells us that love is patient. God is patient with us. God is patient with us. He's been really patient with me. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that the Lord hasn't come back yet because he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's gave us over 2,000 years. What? He's been patient with us. Before he comes back. Why? Because he doesn't want anybody to perish. Amen. I'm glad of that. He waited on me. Amen. He waited on you. Are you patient with people? That's a tough one, isn't it? There's just some people it's hard to be patient with, isn't it? People can be very frustrating at times. They can. Sometimes it's hard to deal with people. Try being a pastor. I love you guys. I do. Love calls us to sometimes sacrifice our timetable and to be patient with people, especially those who may be less mature in their faith than you are. Love others sacrificially and conduct yourselves with patience. Amen. Number two, love is kind. Paul also says that love is kind, and that is not so hard. I think I'm pretty a kind person most of the time. And are you? Are you the kind that, are you like the Lord? Luke 6:35 says, He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Man. Matthew 5:43-48 says, You have heard that it was said, Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We need to love through kindness with those who are perhaps ungrateful to and who disagree with us at times. We need to pray for them and pray God's blessing upon them. We got to sacrifice our desires to get justice, and sometimes we want to get back at people, but we got to leave those things in the hands of the Lord. That's what He asks us to do. Number three, love keeps no wrongs, record of wrongs. There's a lot of times we hold on to a lot of stuff. Some people hold on to stuff for years and years and years and can't let it go. But I'm telling you, He says, don't keep records of wrongs. Let it go. Give it to God and let it go. Paul says, love keeps no wrongs. Keeps no record of wrongs. The Lord doesn't keep a record of all of our wrongdoings. Praise God for that. Psalms 103:12 says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. He doesn't remember. When you repent, it's gone. It's wiped off the board. It's gone. Thrown in the trash, just like some ballots. Gone. It's a real struggle sometimes to forgive. It's a real struggle sometimes to forget. But we have to. That's what Jesus did and does for each of us. You know, I think sometimes if we could retain all the important information instead of all the negative information, we'd be a lot better off, wouldn't we? It seems like we can always remember it. I said, you know what the world sees me as? I said, it's like when I was born, I got this big white poster board. That was me. And every time I done something right, they put a white sticker on that white board. But every time I done something wrong, they put a black sticker on there. And what everybody's seen, they didn't see all the white stickers on there. There may be thousands of white stickers on there. But all they see is that one black sticker up there, and that's the one they remember. Amen? That's the way it is. But He says, forgive. Keep no records of wrongs. And we have to forgive, and we have to continue that. And that is a real struggle. But these are areas of sacrifice, this taking up our cross every day and sacrificing what the world would want us to be, but taking on the mind and the likeness of Christ and that love that Christ shared and gave to each of us. That's what he wants. That's what Christmas season's all about, is remembering the love and the joy and the peace that Christ and the hope that he brought. It's not in our nature sometimes that I want to pray for my enemies. It's not in our nature, but it's in his nature. And he wants us to be like him. How do we love people when it's against our nature? We get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how. We become closer to him. We start walking in the footsteps of Christ. We start reading our Bible. We start giving everything to him. We start repenting every day, and we rely on him. And when we do that, then we can you take on his nature. Because why? Because he gives you a new nature. First, in John 4, 7 and 8, John tells us that the ability to love in this way comes from God and God alone. Verse 7 there, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Amen. That is being spoken is agape love. This unconditional love that goes beyond any love. It's a committed love. It is a love that acts when there is not anything else behind it. It's easy for us to do things when our emotions are leading us in the same direction. Our heart breaks for those who are in poor circumstances, and we make contributions to help. We do, and thank you for that. But to love in a way that John is talking about with this agape love, it's with a love that acts when we don't want to and requires that we know God. Not just know about him, but we really need to know him. Personally, we enter a relationship by receiving Jesus Christ into our life as Savior. That is when we receive the Spirit of God in our lives to help us grow and help us become more like Him, and to help us become kind and compassionate. And we really start to understand what love really is. When you know God, you know love. That's because we receive the new nature, a nature that we did not have before. We're born physically with a corrupt nature. We're born into this world with a really corrupt nature, and it was corrupted by sin that entered through Adam, through one man, it says, through his disobedience. But when we get saved, we get reborn spiritually with a godly nature. We become a new creation. And we need to be born again and born in a spiritual sense to receive this new nature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." Amen. You're a new person when you get saved. Inside, spiritually, you're new. You know, you understand. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us every great and precious promise so that through them you may participate in his divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. It's only through him. It's only through him that we can escape the desires of the flesh. To be able to live a life that loves all, that is expressive of God's nature, you need to have the nature that is within you, and that's the nature of God. You need to be born again. This new nature will grow and mature inside you, and it will lead you and walk with you. It will guide you in obedience. You know, we need to be growing every day in our ability to love by walking closer with the Lord in obedience in His leading. We have to be moving forward, church. We have to be growing closer to Him every day, every breath, every day that we live. We need to be growing closer to Him. Because I have a divine appointment with the Lord. Hey man, one of these days, I'm going to see Him face to face. I have a divine appointment with Him. I want it to be a good one. Hey man, I want it to be a good one. You know, this side of heaven, we will never be able to love like the Lord did completely. But we should be loving more and more all the time as we mature in our faith, in our relationship with Him. Paul said we strive for perfection. Not that we're perfect, but we strive for it. Why? We keep moving towards the mark. We keep working towards the goal, right? We keep running the race. We keep moving forward. That's what he says. My request to you this morning is to make some sacrifices in your life. You know what you need to give up. You know where those things need to change. Break the temptations of Satan. Break them. Be more compassionate. Be more loving, especially in this Christmas season. Be more forgiving. Let go of all those things that have wronged you in the past. Don't let them fester anymore. And let your love, let your conduct show that the love that you have that lives within you and that God is completely in you. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Christ into your life. My request to you this morning is it's just to receive something special. Receive the gift of salvation this morning. Sacrifice in love and in His glory. That's the ultimate gift. The Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. So I just want you all to receive the gift of love from Jesus Christ. The love that He can only give, the love that He can only show. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak, Lord. Always, Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for coming here, forgiving me, wiping away all my wrongdoings and never remembering them again. Lord, keep us safe. Keep us healthy. Keep us on fire for you. Let us spur each other along so that one day we'll be able to stand in front of you, Lord, confident. Confident, Lord. And you'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come join." Oh, I can't wait. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all again. Hey, if you're listening somewhere on FM and you didn't attend here in person, but go to our Facebook page and comment on there that you attended our services today. And we'd really appreciate that. We will count you as present. And I know we can see who's on Zoom, so we'll count you as well. But thank you all for being here this morning on such a cold and windy day. And I hope you have a great, great week. Remember Wednesday night service. We do meet inside on Wednesday night, but we also Zoom it. And we've been having some good services. So I'll see you all. Have a good week and love you. Amen.